This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Everybody, welcome to this very impromptu FYP space following the contract signing of Michael Olise with a new contract, which is just incredible news, isn't it? We're going to hopefully have a few of the pod team jumping on. Let me just see if I can get someone, some of them rabble-roused. Give me one second. Let's see if we've got any speakers. Jack, here we are. Let's get you involved. Right, hold on a second. Jack, are you in? Jack, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes,
Rob. Hello, awesome. Hello. Right, okay. That was the that Instagram. That was a parish bomb, wasn't it, really, in the scheme of things? No one expected it. And there's a picture of him and Michael Olise looking kind of as wryly happy as he can be, just delighted at signing a new contract. 4 years. What is going on? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's just incredible news. I think almost every Palace fan have made their peace with the fact that we've seen the last of Michael Olise, and we talked in the midweek pod this week about how sad that was because we wanted him to keep, but wanted him to stay. And it seems all the Chelsea talk has maybe been a bit of a smokescreen, and the club have been working. I've just listened to Roy in his press conference, and he's congratulated Steve Parrish and Dougie Friedman for the work they've done.
Yeah, it's. I think
so. It's clearly been in the works in the background, and I guess the key is that Michael Olise has now agreed to it, and that's what's got us here. So I'm delighted. Apparently, he's been offered a significant pay rise. Miguel Delaney, who I don't necessarily trust all the time, but he said that it's going to be 100k a week now. So I guess elements of the Wilf offer have now been moved elsewhere, and rightly so. Delighted with the news.
It's just an incredible twist in what we all thought was a foregone conclusion, really, isn't it? You know, we looked at Olise as someone who was on his way out. We kind of all accepted, you know, this guy is going to move on to bigger things, and Crystal Palace are, in the grand scheme of things, a bit of a stepping stone. I'd kind of come to terms with that. I thought, right, there's no more Wilf. He's gone. That's done. I'm gutted about Olise. But this is just, it's what a move by Steve Parrish. I mean, it's like a new signing, isn't it, Jack?
Absolutely. I'd probably say it's better than a new signing because we know that he can do it. There's no doubt as to his quality. And As soon as he's back fit, he'll be back in the starting 11 and making us a better team, because I've got high hopes for him this season. I think that's probably tempered somewhat by the injury that he's coming into the season with, but I think he could have one hell of a season, and I'm just delighted. I think it's absolutely brilliant, and you know, the grief and abuse that's been put in Steve Parrish's direction over the last, you know, week, particularly the last few days since this news in particular has broken, has been utterly ridiculous. To see him have his moment is brilliant.
Yeah, and I mean, it also kind of maybe draws a close to some of this this clause business that's been talked about. The you know, contract clause has been, I think, the trending term for Crystal Palace fans for the last 3 weeks since the story broke about Elise possibly leaving for Chelsea. But it seems, you would expect that maybe there is still a clause of some sort, but with potentially a much higher fee. I don't
know. Yeah, you think the way his representatives have operated previously, that there will be a clause of some form. But yeah, you have to imagine for the, you know, significant pay bump that Palace have offered him, you know, Palace will be protecting themselves in the increase of the clause. God knows what that is, but you'd hope beyond the 50 million that was talked about with David Ornstein this time last year. We're hoping we're probably talking maybe 60 million plus, but that's pure conjecture. I have absolutely no idea. But yeah, you would think if Palace have invested in his wages, then they would have protected themselves as well with a much higher clause.
I think it's very interesting. Roy Hodgson's doing his press conference at the moment, and he said that we're very fortunate here. We have two people, Steve and Dougie, who fully understand what Palace is and Palace need to be in the future, while constantly trying to improve the team. This is a guy who, for the last couple of weeks, has talked about the need for recruits. I think the impression I got from what I'd been told was that Roy had kind of had done what we did and accepted that perhaps Elise would be leaving. But that just isn't the case now. And so it reduces the need for more attacking signings by one. I think we're going to need at least another two, potentially. But what does it also talk about Palace's ambitions, really, in the grand scheme of things? The fact that I don't think it's actually, I'm going to say this, I don't think it is a, I don't think it's an ambitious move to go to Chelsea at the moment. And I mean that in the sense that, for a lot of footballers, sure, if you want to earn a lot of money while you're either sitting on the bench or playing in the greater 25-man team, then yeah, that's a great opportunity. But really, if you want to play football and develop and become a better player as a result, staying at a club like Crystal Palace is actually a better choice, isn't it?
Well, he's certainly going to get more minutes this season than you would expect him to get at Chelsea. You're right, Chelsea are at a bit of an uncertain point. At the moment, with the new manager and the incredible transfer incomings and outgoings that have occurring there. So I think, in that sense, it's better for his development. A move to Chelsea might suit him at some stage in his career, but I think Michael Lisa having another season of Premier League football will just kind of amplify his talents, and I think he'll you know, be all the better for it. I think what it says about Palace's ambitions is they've been able to convince him that it's worth Michael Lisa investing more time at Palace to perhaps further his career in the long term, and that benefits us in the short term and secures his value for Palace. So it's a win-win for Palace in the sense we get him for a bit longer, but we also are going to maybe benefit more financially moving forward too, and maybe get closer to the value that Palace fans associate with Michael Lise right now.
There's also something really very beautiful about seeing these transfer aggregator accounts and these transfer journalists, you know, transfer specialist journalists who have for the last same time basically just said it's just a matter of time until Michael Elise moves. It's everything's agreed. He's agreed personal terms. That's great. He's, you know, he's going, all that now needs to happen is for a fee to be agreed. And it's just been blown out of the water. All of that has just been blown completely out of the water. And Steve Parrish has pulled people's pants down here, hasn't he?
I don't know if I'd put it that way, but Steve Parrish seems to be very clever at working the media when he needs the media to work in line with him. You know, he was very prominent at the European Super League stuff. So when he wants to be in cahoots with the media, he is. But when he wants to get on with his own business and keep it private, he certainly has the ability to do so. I mean, Fabrizio Romano, obviously very renowned for what he does, but, you know, I'm not sure he's as hot on things as he may have the reputation for. But David Ornstein doesn't typically go public with deals unless they're pretty much done, and he did with this one. So, you know, I think he stated the deal, or maybe it was clever wording from him that Chelsea had met the clause, but, you know, as we sit here now, that clearly didn't mean anything in that Michael Olise wasn't obliged to sign for Chelsea at the meeting of that clause and has instead actually extended his terms with Palace.
Yeah, he's going to be out for quite a little bit longer, according to Roy Hodgson. He says he's not back for a while yet because of the severity of the injury. We're hoping to get Dom Fifield on shortly as well, who can cover both Chelsea's angle and Palace's angle, hopefully.
Don't give him grief before he's even joined.
He's a guest on the Chelsea podcast on a regular basis, so it would be interesting to hear the people on that what is it, View from the... No, I don't know. What is it? View from the Shed End, something like that?
Something about Cobham.
That's it, Cobham. It's going to be such a lift. And also, with all the reality is, right, with there's so much difficult Palace news that's been happening in the last week since the Sheffield United game, really, with the potential for, Doucouré going to Liverpool, possibly. And then there was talk of Eze and being linked to Spurs, which I don't think is entirely realistic prospect, but there we go. And then also, just the Olise story just rumbling on. But with the home game coming up on Monday night, it is just going to give Palace fans a lift, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly changes the mood around the club. I think, the last few days, particularly on social media, has been pretty difficult. I mean, when we did the midweek pod, we did actually toy with the idea of starting the podcast with the Michael Olise news, but I felt we really needed to ram home the positive that we did actually start the season with a win, so it's not all terrible. But what this does with Michael Olise, I take on your point, Rob, that he's not going to be fit for a couple of months still, but what it does is mean that any finance that maybe have been associated with buying somebody to replace him in the squad will be going elsewhere to the other parts of the squad that need adding to. So it probably simplifies Dougie Freedman's job between now and the end of August, which is another positive because more money can be focused in other areas of the squad that we need to add, and that might be a central striker, that might be a fullback, one side or the other. Looks like the Lewis Hall deal is done, and Edmund Bratt, who joined us on Tuesday, did say that things are moving with that one. He was still quite confident it was going to happen, but I think what's changed here is that Newcastle have actually come to the table with a sizable cash offer. I don't think we need to get into how Chelsea have handled the contract negotiation with one of their own players, but it doesn't look particularly great. And Palace are, not going to get Lewis Hall, which is something we all thought we were 2 weeks ago, but that deal looks like it's dead. So that means there's still two loan places in the squad as well, which could be utilised. So I just think this news completely turns the atmosphere on its head, and hopefully we go into Monday night very excited for that game, but then the rest of August is also positive in terms of additions coming in as well.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've still got 2 weeks of the transfer window left, I think, or near about 2 weeks.
Yeah,
there are necessities. Yeah. This doesn't make it, it doesn't sugarcoat the issues and the urgency of other positions needing recruitment. But it is a positive step, really. And it's just such a shock. Like, it is really a massive surprise. We've got Dom Fifield as a listener. I've just invited him as a speaker.
Wonderful.
So wonderful. We'll have him on hopefully any moment. There he is, Dom.
Hello.
Hello. How are you reacting to this news, Dominic Fifield?
I'm over the moon. I think it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But I know this is very much about a Palace perspective, and everybody will be jumping up and down with joy that Olise's committed to a new contract, etc. But I actually think this is important for the Premier League. Chelsea's spending in recent weeks has been remarkable. If you're a Chelsea fan, it's been magnificent, obviously, and they would argue, Chelsea supporters would argue, that it's been required, this revamp of their squad, to make them competitive again. But I'd use a different word, to be honest. I think it's baffling how they're doing this. And I mean, on Monday and Tuesday alone this week, I think they spent £160 million on two players, or committed to spending that over a period of time. Always with the the threat of adding Elise to their ranks as well. And so to see them, Chelsea will be briefing stuff later this afternoon, I imagine, to explain why this has happened. And that they, a player that they thought they'd secured, they thought they triggered a release fee in his previous contract. They thought they'd done that. They clearly hadn't, or Palace would argue that they hadn't. But I think it's brilliant almost to see them with a bloody nose on this, and that actually the clubs who are mid-table clubs, established Premier League teams, but mid-table sides, can still convince players that by offering them game time, by offering them an integral role in a team and playing every week, they can retain their top talent. I think it's magnificent that Palace have done this. Absolutely brilliant. And let's hope that... Let's really enjoy Michael Olise this season when he's fit and up and about and running again. Really get behind him, because it's great that he's sticking about.
What do you think it says to those who would have suggested that maybe... the reason Elise would have wanted to leave is because of a lack of, I wouldn't even say ambition, but, you know, just, working for...
I don't think it was anything like that. There is something happening at Chelsea at the moment. They're recruiting an awful lot of young players, and their future is going to be quite bright. So, I mean, you just have to see who they've added to their ranks this summer. So I can see the appeal. You're far more likely to win something at Chelsea, even this Chelsea, than at Crystal Palace. That is the reality of it. And if Michael Olise has been very, very strategic, he and his representative have been very, very strategic in all their moves, in getting the original release clause inserted into his Reading contract so that he could make the step up to the Premier League. Seeing Palace as a platform to establish a reputation at the top level, and then a springboard to bigger things. And look, Chelsea, I know they finished.
Have we lost Dom? Or have we lost me? Dom?
You're still coming through, Rob.
Okay, that's a relief in some ways. Dom's probably out and about in the Surrey Hills somewhere, enjoying a stroll, taking in the fresh air from all the hard news that we've just been dealing with.
It's Zahar leaving.
Hello, Dom. Sorry, we lost you for a moment.
Oh, apologies. Selzy was actually ringing me, so that's probably why.
Of course he was.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it is really brilliant news. It's just, it kind of goes against... I thought it was really interesting that Steve Parish, during the, you know, I think he talked in the interviews that he did with Gary Neville and with Jake, that he basically said that there's a problem with imbalance in football. And it's really interesting that this is kind of, it's just a single punch. It's one punch in the face of a giant, really. And Chelsea are acting and behaving in a way that is, you know, it's basically like someone who's just won the lottery and they're just going out and spending lots of money on everything and anything. And it doesn't, there's a plan, but it doesn't feel, to an exterior, it doesn't really feel like a plan. But what are your thoughts, Dom? Sorry, go on.
No, there is a plan there. There is a plan. They're investing in young players for the future, very, very good, talented players for the future. Michael Olise is 21 with big ambitions and a fantastic season and a half in the Premier League behind him. So he would fit into that plan. Plus, he was available for a bargain if you triggered the clause correctly.
Right.
While that clause existed. So, I mean, there's a logic for them. There was completely a plan in place in that. I'm not surprised that they didn't try and trigger it earlier in the summer. But, you know, that's done now. That's forgetting about that. I don't know whether the new deal has got a clause in it. We should also remember that Moises Caicedo signed a new long-term contract at Brighton in January and has been sold in the subsequent window. I think what this does more than anything with Crystal Palace is ensure that they get market value for him when they eventually do sell him. And we can't kid ourselves. It's not as if it would take something absolutely remarkable for Michael Olise to stay, you know, long term at Crystal Palace Football Club. But this is the model. This is what they want to do. They buy young players, they develop them, they get the best out of them, and then they move them on at a massive, massive fee. They want to do what Brighton are doing, and Brighton do it fantastically well. Hopefully Palace will in future. And this protects them from losing a player for peanuts.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Roy Hodgson's provided more comments. He said, Olise feels like a new signing. That is, it does feel like that. To me, it feels like a massive signing. And he says, it's a massive surprise. He didn't know exactly when the meeting took place, and it came as a big surprise after training. He said, they can spring as many surprises on me as they like. I don't care when they do it. So he's fully supportive of this. Of course he would be. He's the currently, along with SA, he's the most talented player in the Palace squad. So in terms of an attacking sense, at least. But it is just such a massive surprise. And it just feels like a coup, which is crazy, given that he's a Palace player.
It's a late birthday. It's a late birthday present for Roy, actually. That's what it is. It's all been planned the whole time. I think that's absolutely nailed it there, Rob. But, you know, Roy likely has one season as manager and probably can't believe his luck that he's got, you know, one of his two best players still at the club when he, you know, as you said earlier, made his peace that he wasn't going to be here. So he probably can't believe it. And yeah, I just got a flick through Twitter, and the disbelief of Palace fans is just quite incredible, really, that this has been done. I think part of that is the nature in believing, as you would do with most stories that are broken by Fabrizio Romano and David Ornstein. But as Dom's just said, you know, it could be that, you know, that Chelsea was a very attractive proposition, but it may be that Steve Parish and Dougie Friedman have just been able to kind of highlight the positives of maybe one more season. As Dom says, that, you know, it's a 4-year contract, but I don't think anyone listening to this thinks that we're going to have Michael Olise in 4 years' time. But it could be the next 12 months is what's being talked about, and he's going to be handsomely paid for the next 12 months at the very least. And Palace will earn a little bit more money than, well, not a little bit more money, but significantly more than we might have done if the deal had gone through this week.
We have to also look at some of the subtleties of the stories that were written earlier this week. I don't know about Fabrizio. I can only talk for the David Ornstein's copy on the Athletic. But it was very much, it's believed that the clause has been triggered. And if you read the story, you could see where that, which side had briefed the story. Or we could see which side had it was weighted towards. Let's put it like that. I don't think Palace have commented at all on this, at all, up to this moment.
No, nothing.
And read your own, I mean, read into that what you will, basically. I don't think this was ever going to be a simple deal to do, despite the fact that the clause existed. And I know that's Rich coming from somebody from The Athletic, etc. You know, there is a history there, obviously, with this bloody clause. But I mean, it wasn't a simple procedure, a simple mechanism to trigger. It just simply wasn't that. It's difficult to. It's not even my place to explain it. I'm so glad that it appears that it wasn't triggered. I wonder whether Chelsea might still argue that it was, in which case this may rumble on for a bit disconcertingly in the background for a while. But you know,
is it not just
Michael Olise? I mean,
that's it. He signed a contract. So at this stage, that was his decision. And so, you know, there's no duress there.
Yeah, and in the same way that if Michael Olise wanted to leave, there was no way that Crystal Palace would really have wanted him around. Now that Chelsea have seen that Michael Olise have signed a new contract to Crystal Palace, presumably they now move on and look for somebody else to.
I see on that note that Brendan Johnson is being linked with them now. So it seems like they have moved on. But it's just, I'm just astounded by it. It's astonishing news. The story about the release clause is interesting, and the fact that, you know, from what the implication from you is that Palace believed perhaps that there wasn't actually a clause, or that it hadn't been triggered in the way that it needed to be. Chelsea obviously have been briefing as much as they can. There was a clause, but right.
Look, I think we should move on from the clause, to be honest. I mean, that's Michael for bringing it up. But
can I ask you, Dom, just in terms of the contract, obviously working with Michael Olise has been someone that's been on the club's agenda pretty much since the end of his first season. Do you think the club have been continuing those chats throughout last season, or do you think they've just made a really concerted effort in the last, you know, month or so with clubs being very interested in Michael Olise?
Look, I think Palace have been working hard on convincing Michael Olise to commit beyond that existing contract for a long, long time. I mean, go back to, we wrote at The Athletic, I think it was I want to say last autumn.
That
Palace had open talks about. But I think there's been a fairly constant dialogue with it. It's not difficult to see the strategy here. Why Michael Easley came to Palace again? We're going back to that platform to perform on, to establish a reputation, to show what he can do with regular game time, and then he steps up. And that's been the strategy with all of Palace's brilliant signings over the last 2-3 years, if you count Eze in there as well. I mean, it's a fine strategy, and the right strategy for a club of our size. It's not been an easy summer. Because that strategy, by definition, means that you will lose good quality players, albeit hopefully for good prices, and then you reinvest that money to replenish the stock. But what you don't want to happen is too many leaving at once. So when Zaha left, that's the end almost of an era. They didn't want to lose Elise this summer as well, because that's two of those three, you know, gems in the attacking ranks going in the same summer, so they've warded that off. You know, the next thing to do obviously is to try and convince Eberechi Eze to sign a similar deal, because I think he's got 2 years left on his contract. They'll want to do that next, and I think this sets the bar, doesn't it? It's brilliant that they've been able to do this. Absolutely brilliant.
We've got pod guest Andy Bell who is able to join us. Are you there, Andy?
Hello,
mate. Yeah, good. That was in boxing terminology, a knockout blow, wasn't it?
Ah, superb. No one saw that coming, did they? That's a 12th round knockout right there. Really, really pleased.
Yeah, we all.
I mean, I'd started to
go on.
Started to come to terms with the fact that it was over, and we would be seeing him holding up that shirt in the next day or two. So really happy to see this one come off.
I think when I've listened to the last few podcasts, the FYP ones, there has been just this morose sense of sadness that this might be a sale too soon. I think with the feeling with Elise was that he should have stayed at least one more season, and that was the thing that really upset me as especially. But I think it just felt that way for everybody, that it almost felt just a little bit too early as a departure. But it's just great news.
Couldn't agree more, mate. I've actually just been contacted by a Chelsea friend of mine saying, oh, well, you know, you said it was too early, so, you know, we're not that bothered anyway.
Right.
Yeah, of course, mate.
Yeah, they don't
know. So now, over the moon.
They don't know what they're missing out on. Dom, what do you think of Steve Parish deserves a huge amount of credit for doing this on the kind of, on the sly. We've not seen Palace comment or do any kind of, you know, be involved in any of this, but the background work that's clearly gone into this is worthy of credit, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's worthy of credit, and it's critical to the season, because we've got 2 weeks of the window left, and had Elise left, that's a huge hole to fill. So in the team, in the squad, whatever, there's still work to be done. I think I caught some of the original chat that you were having before I joined the conversation. I mean, there's still work to be done in the market, and presumably now Lewis Hall is not going to be coming to Palace, because I can't imagine relations between the two clubs are particularly happy at the moment. But yeah, it's a massive fillip, and it's, yeah, testament to Steve, to Dougie, and all of those guys who have behind the scenes who have worked their socks off to convince Michael and to convince his agent that Chelsea wasn't the right move for him, and that Palace will offer him that chance to excel again. And I mean, I see there are now suggestions out there that there's a new sort of minimum fee that would be required to sign Michael Elise in this new deal. That's a suggestion on some of the, I think Secret Scouts has put that out. That doesn't surprise me at all, but it'll be a lot higher than £35 million, let's put it like that.
Yeah, there are a lot of questions that we're not going to have answered. You know, we don't know how long this has been going on for, how long they've been talking about a new contract. When it was all agreed, it seems that Roy suggested it was this morning that he'd heard the news. But it also just a reminder that that Palace don't do things in the public eye that much. When it comes to I think the Francis signing was a bit unusual because it seemed that had been very public. But Palace tend to move in the shadows a little bit when it comes to transfer dealings. And in this case, they shocked us all.
Well, Rob, you commonly tell us that and rightly correctly, absolutely correctly, but the club don't typically announce contract extensions. And I'm glad they broke with that policy this afternoon, because I think it's made everyone's afternoon and made everyone's week and just brightens the whole place up. But I think we mentioned earlier just that kind of use of the media. Steve Parish has clearly been able to kind of use the media in any way that he wants in this sense, in terms of the catching everybody by such a surprise. So,
yeah. Is that a use of the media? I'm not sure if they've used the media.
Well, no, I don't know. Sorry. As I was saying,
the media. Dom. The media.
But just in terms of how open some transfer dealings are and how contract negotiations do seem to be talked out in the media. And I know the media encompasses so many things now, but I don't recall a transfer dealing or a contract extension catching so many people by surprise, I guess is what I'm trying to get at.
The last one was probably Wilfried Zaha's second one, wasn't it? And yeah. Announced in very similar circumstances.
Yes, yeah. Not on a quayside though in Mallorca, this one. This one looks like it's at the training ground.
I mean, Jack, you might be able to argue that actually Elise's guys have used the media really cleverly here to renegotiate a new 4-year contract for Michael Elise. So there might be more to this than meets the eye anyway.
Yeah.
That's it. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks now. I'm assuming that there are lots of irons in the fire for Palace. But this is just one massive, massive deal that no one expected. It's just, I can't believe it. But what do you think? Are we looking at a striker maybe, or another winger coming in?
I think it probably makes Palace more attractive, that knowing that you're going to be playing alongside Elise and Eze in the season ahead once Elise's recovered from his hamstring problem. Yeah, they will still look at the squad and realise that it lacks depth in some areas. Expect additions. A striker would be brilliant to add competition for Odson Edouard, because there's got to be a chance that Jean-Philippe Mateta leaves before the deadline. There will be other areas of the team that need strengthening. I mean, you could argue at fullback as well. Goalkeeper's a massive issue, given Vicente Guaita's situation. I'd anticipate a goalkeeper coming in as well. But look, there's plenty to do there. But, you are joining now a team that's retained two of its three star attacking players from last season. So you're joining a much more buoyant and upbeat squad, I'd imagine. So fingers crossed that gets done and adds to the attractiveness of joining Crystal Palace, the attraction rather of joining Crystal Palace in what remains of the window.
Indeed, and we've got a game against Arsenal to look forward to on Monday. I'm sure there's actually not going to be another podcast before then. So, and I think the previews have been done on the previous podcast, haven't they, Jack? So there's not much else to talk about, really. Just a great celebration today. It just feels like such a positive news day. There's just so much to be happy about when it comes to Elise. We won't see him for at least, I imagine, 6 to 8 weeks, maybe more than that. I think Selzy suggested it might be the first, after the first international break, that we could see Elise returning to the side. But yeah, Elise is going to be playing for Palace for the next season. It's just, what a shock. And should we just call it quits there? Am I done? Can you hear me?
No, I think we've said it all, okay. Rob. I think we've encapsulated the excitement that there is. And if anyone does want to go back and listen to this week's FYP, they can skip over part two, which was effectively the goodbye to Michael Elise now. So that's the good thing. But great day, and delighted he's going to be wearing red and blue for at least the season forthcoming, and then we'll have all this drama again next summer, no doubt.
And as usual, on Monday, I will be recording the Pod Extra. I should be on with Selzy, so I'm sure he's got some views about the Elise signing and everything else that happens in that match. If you're not a patron, please do consider signing up. There's lots of chat like this. If you enjoyed it, then thank you. And have a great rest of the day. Palace should get some third kits on sale and put Elisa on the back, and they'll sell like hotcakes, won't they? So, yeah. But yeah, enjoy the rest of your day. Have a really good time. Celebrate Palace's success in keeping one of their best players, and we'll see how it goes on Monday. Have a good one, guys. Bye bye.
Podcast Network.